Making a house, home. I read in the Bible a place where Jesus liked to go. Actually, one of his favorite places to rest, refresh himself, was in the little town of Bethany. Actually, it was the home of a man that he loved, Lazarus. Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. They had the sort of place that spoke of warmth and welcome and love. I've read about that so often. I wondered what in the world made their home so special that Jesus would want to go. I want you to think about that with me this morning. Why would Jesus want to be in your home, Mother? What would make your home so special that Jesus would want to come? And I'm sure that every single one of us this morning would be the very first to say, I would love to have Jesus stop by my house. Ladies, wouldn't you like that? To have Jesus, if he was right here, say, I would like to go to their house. And I wonder, what is it about that home that made it so special? I just can't imagine that it was the gourmet meals. I don't think that was the reason he wanted to go. I honestly don't think it probably was the fine china. I don't think it was the decor of the house at all. I think it was something different. I suspect maybe it was a spirit of love and tenderness and loveliness that beckoned Jesus to come to that house. I want you to get your Bibles quickly. Now, it also will be on the screen, but I want you to look at what I think made this home so inviting to Jesus. First of all, if you'll go with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. You see, Mary and Martha had a home that I think provided warmth and loving environment to a family. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, just because you have a house that's made of mortar or brick, drywall, nails, light bulbs, because you have a house like that, it does not mean you have a home? Because those things I mentioned is just a house. But this morning, let's make our houses real homes. Well, what made it different for these ladies? Well, first of all, if you look at Luke 10, 38, Martha welcomed him into her home. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her home. She wanted him to be in her home. Follow me, if you will, please, to John chapter 11 and verse number 20. This is so very important. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Now, I know you're going to look at Mary and say, but Mary sat still in the house. I understand that. But Martha was so excited about the Lord. She knew he was coming. She didn't wait till he got there. She went out. She went out to get him. You see, what made the home, I think, so exciting and welcoming was that Martha welcomed him into her home. And she went out to meet him before he ever reached the home. And then let's talk about Mary. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10, verse number 39, because there it teaches us that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and she listened intently to what he had to say. It was such a warm house, such an interesting house, such a house that was interested in what Jesus had to say. Mary sat and listened, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And then I think in Luke chapter 10, verse 40, you'll see there that Martha prepared food for her guests. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? My sister hath left me to serve alone. Bid her therefore that she help me. But forget that last little phrase. What I'm looking at is that Martha was always there to serve. She was always there to help. She had a house full of hospitality. She was ready to help. Now, if you go to John chapter 11 and verse 27, there you'll see that Martha believed in Christ and his mighty power and wasn't afraid to share her beliefs. She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ." She said, "I know that you are. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And she was not afraid to share what she believed with everybody. She knew that he was the Christ. One of the reasons I think, honestly, that Jesus felt so warm and so welcomed was because these ladies made him feel just that way. And then the last, in John chapter 11, verse 29 through 31, Mary brought others to Jesus. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. You see, she was always excited about going to Jesus. Now, Jesus was not yet come to the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Then the Jews, which were with her in the house, comforted her. When they saw Mary, she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." She was always talking about Jesus and leading others to Christ. Have you ever gone to a store? Maybe where folks are smoking. And you come out of that store or that area where they're smoking, and what do you smell like? Smoke. You ever gone to a diner? I should say a diner in town, but I should not say that probably. Where they serve hamburgers and onions. If you're in that diner very long and you sat there and you've had a hamburger and onions and you come out of that diner, then you come to the church office and people are going to say something like, "You smell like onions." I had that happen to me just the other day. You see, the fragrance kind of stays with you, doesn't it? I had gone down, I heard all the news about the Subway sandwich shop that now has Subway breakfast sandwiches. And so I thought, boy, for $2.50, you get a sandwich and a cup of coffee, 10-ounce cup of coffee. That's not too bad. I think I'll try that. So I did. I went downtown. I bought that sub sandwich, and I had the whites of the egg, not the yolk. The white is more healthy for you. So I got the egg white, provolone cheese, tomato, onion, and mayonnaise. Wow, is it good. And I sat there and ate every bit of that. And then I noticed my office stunk a little bit. But I didn't say anything. And as soon as my secretary walked into my office, she said, "Ooh, something stinks like onions in here." I said, "Yeah, I just ate my sandwich." You see, the fragrance of that smell stays with you. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't you enjoy having the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Oh, the fragrance of God, the smell of God in your life. What a blessing, Mom, that you can provide for your family the aroma of heaven. Man, I can have the aroma of the great glorified kingdom of God in my life. Brother Mark Heisman is sitting right back in the back over there. And I remember, Brother Mark, you telling me one time about my house. While I was on vacation, I had Brother Mark come and do a little work at my house. And after he had gotten that work finished, he came to me after I came back from vacation. And he said, "Pastor, I so enjoyed being at your house." I said, "Really?" He said, "I really did." He said, "Your house seems so peaceful." Boy, that was a blessing to me. Every house ought to seem peaceful that has Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in that house. There ought to be an aroma of Christ in your house. Have you ever hugged somebody who wore a lot of perfume? And you walk away from that person smelling like that person? Have you ever done that? I know one time little Evelyn, Katie's little daughter, my great-granddaughter, Andrew had brought her to my house, and I had held little Evelyn, and I had cuddled her and sung to her a little bit and prayed with her a little bit and held her a little bit and looked at her and held her. And I wear cologne. And Andrew took the baby back to Katie, and she said, "Evelyn been with Grandpa?" smell, that's what she said, right? AJ said, everyone been with Grandpa? I smell Grandpa. The aroma, the fragrance. Now think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Martha and Mary had a home that was so filled with the fragrance of Christ. I can imagine what a blessing that was. But ladies and gentlemen, what about you and I having the fragrance of heaven on our lives? Because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus so loved this little home in Bethany that he spent his last week before his crucifixion at that home. Mary, moved by her great love for him, as you know, poured costly ointment perfume on his feet and wiped them with her hair. Her act of sacrificial love filled the room. The Bible teaches us about that fragrance that no doubt permeated the very clothes of her guest and lingered for hours. I don't know about you, but I want a Christian home that emanates the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mama, don't you want that for your home too? Go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. Because I believe this particular scripture in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 is exactly what we're talking about. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so very important to understand that a house is not made of brick and mortar and wood and nails. There's something truly missing. If that's all you have in your home, there's something missing, because every single home must have the heart of God in that home. What makes a home truly a wonderful place is the heart. Emil Barnes said this, "Homes are not static monuments to taste. They're not museums. They are simply the stage where we experience the drama of our lives and where we invite others to share with us." Who's the head of the house? The man. The man, boy, I thought somebody would have said that out loud. The man is the head of the home. You know who the heart of the home is? Mother. The man is the head of the home, but the heart of the home is mother. Turning a house into a home is more about the presence of a beautiful heart than it is new wallpaper or fresh paint or neatly organized closets. If you have the right heart, I have this for the screen. If you have the right heart, your home will be happy, no matter what kind of house you live in. I want to say that again. I'm about ready to shout. That's a wonderful statement. That's not my original statement. That's a wonderful statement, though. If you have the right heart, your home will be happy, no matter what kind of house you live in. It is not the prestige of the house or the beauty of the house. It's the beauty of the heart of that mother and dad that make that house a home. Some of you are living in houses, all right, and there is no heart, and there is no home. And I feel for you. That's a sad situation to live in. What kind of hearts should we have? I'm going to give you five things this morning that I think we ought to have in our homes. If you're going to have a heart and a home that's going to be there and have the fragrance of heaven, I believe you need to have these five things in your home. Again, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 talks about that. Got to be diligent. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of the heart are the issues of life. First of all, would you please invite into your home, into your heart, love. Invite love into your home. Ladies, please invite love in your home. Love is ultimately what makes a house a home. Love quiets the baby's cry at night. Love kisses a toddler's scraped knee. Love comforts a teenager's broken heart. Love gives without expectation. Love sacrifices without hesitation. Love comes straight from heaven. We need to catch a glimpse of love. To fill your home with love is really to invite the presence of Almighty God in your home. I do not know how people live in our society today with any kind of love if they don't invite Jesus Christ into their home. Because I tell you why. The Bible itself tells me about God that God is love. And without that love, there is no genuine love in your home. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have got to begin now to invite the Lord Jesus into your home. As you invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your home, God is love. Now He's in your home, and now the love is there. Now in your heart, you can experience the great love of God, and now your family can understand what love really is. Without God, there is no love. That's why our world is so chaotic. That's why we're in such a mess. Because the world thinks they can get love without God. But ladies and gentlemen, you'll never experience real, genuine love until you really get God in your home. Get God in your home. A woman can never be all that she is required to be. You can't be a wife and a mother and a friend without love filling and refilling your heart constantly. That love is also an endangered species, I'm telling you, as you comb through scriptures. In fact, if you'll go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, as you comb through the scriptures, you can see that our society is becoming more and more characteristic of the last days. What are the last days known as? Well, here's what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I'm telling you, we are living in perilous times. Right now, we're living in perilous times. And he said, hey, listen, these times are going to come in these last days. And then he goes on and says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And isn't that the truth? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. He said, that's what the perilous times are going to look like. And I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way our society looks. It is. Without natural affection, we have that going on all the time. And it's being forced on us and fostered on us that we have to accept gay marriages and we have to accept gay preachers and we have to. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God does not accept that. It does not. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent fears, despisers of those that are good, and those perilous times are upon us right now. You can almost take a newspaper and read those verses. And it sounds just like what's going on all over the world. Notice verse 3 says, without love. That phrase means absent of love. If you go back to the original Hebrew, that's why it's important, more important than ever, to fill our homes with the kind of love that can be a safe haven for our family and a refreshing oasis for others who come to visit. In these latter times, a home filled with God's love is precious and rare, but needed more than ever. I think we ought to fill our hearts with God's love so that when we cross the threshold going into our homes, we feel the great love of God. You know, one of the things that I remember about my home growing up is that my mother really loved us and my mother really loved her God. My daddy really loved us and he really loved his God. Now, he was stern and he was strict and he would discipline you. And in those days, he still paddled and he still spanked and he didn't get a three-second timeout or nothing like that. I mean, you got flat whipped. How many got flat whipped before? Amen. That's why you're such good people. You got flat whipped. The rest of you guys who get whipped, you're messed up. Whip people, stay in line. You know, I was watching, we put Travis and Lucas in the back of my truck the other day, in the bed of the truck with the tailgate up. They were running around in there, just jumping around, just laughing, having fun. And my wife said, look at that. With the proper boundaries, kids are happy. Ooh, that's a good point, wasn't it? I said, maybe that'll preach. That's good stuff. With the proper boundaries. I mean, they were in this truck. They were up 4 or 5 feet in the air. But they didn't bother. They had these boundaries. And they were just jumping and playing and laughing and giggling and papaw struck. And they had boundaries. Our problem is we don't have any boundaries. Oh, get the love of God in your home, folks. The thing I remember about my house is that my mom and dad loved us, and we prayed together, and we sought God together, and we loved the Lord. And I'll tell you what, not one of those serious spankings I ever got ever deformed me. Or made me think, man, if I ever get a spanking like that again, I'm going to lose my mind. And never made me feel like that. I said this, I'll never get a spanking like that again. I guarantee it. Amen. Number one was what? What do I need in my home? Everybody shout it out to me. What do I need in my home? Love. I've got to have love. But where does the love come from? Almighty God. I've got to get God in my life. Number two, write this one down if you will, please. Invite tradition in to your home. Tradition? Preacher, now hold a minute. No, I'm saying it makes your house something a little different. You know, at the Lewis household on Friday night, you know what Friday nights were? Fish sticks and chips. It was a tradition. Now, that was before the day of you got to eat proper and you can't eat fried stuff and you can't eat chips. We didn't care about that. I care about that more today than I did then, but anyway. We had, every Friday night, it was the same thing. Every Friday night, fish sticks and potato chips and Pepsi-Cola. It was great. It was a tradition. Hey, you know what one night a month was at the Lewis household? Steak night. Steak night. I'm not talking about round steak. I'm not talking about hamburger steak. I'm talking about steak. One time a month, we had our own cows, and butchered our own beef. And so every Friday night, Dad, especially for me, my brother Tom, and him, we had T-bone or porterhouse steaks. That thick. Tender on the grill. Now, Mom and the rest of the kids, they got steak too, but not porterhouse. And T-bone. That was for the guys. I love that tradition. Wow, was it good. Yeah, I'm telling you, it was excellent. One time a month, you'd ask my mother. It was great. And Dad would fix it. It was so good. It was so much fun. And guess what? We look forward to that one Saturday night a month. Now, Friday night was what? Fish sticks and chips. Every Friday night. But one time a month, steak. Oh, it was great. Now, people would come out to our house on Friday, on Saturday night. They didn't know what Saturday night it was. And they'd come sometimes when we had the porterhouse and the T-bone, but they never got it. It was tradition for the family. Dad would say, got some hamburgers in here. I love it. By the way, everybody is born to desire to belong. Everybody is born with a desire to belong. Here's what I think. If a child finds the need met at home, he or she won't wander outside the safety of home to find that desire to meet. I never wanted to leave home. I love my home. Mom made it so sweet. Dad made it so special. We had cake every single week. Mom made a cake every week, at least one. Sometimes because we ate so much, we had two. But we never went without cake in the house. And that was good because at nighttime we could have cake, and in the morning for breakfast, we'd have cake. That was the best. You get your cereal, and you cut your piece of cake, put it on top of the cereal, put some milk on it. Whew. Good stuff. And you know who started that? Not my mother, my daddy. He said, son, get your piece of cake, put that on that cereal. Tradition. Man, I loved it. It was wonderful. We had such a warm family. It was so neat. So special. It really was. I loved my home. And then my mother made this special cake. I don't know if you ladies know anything about mayonnaise cakes. Whew. Mayonnaise cake with caramel frosting. Whew. To die for. Man, was it good. And about once a month, Mom would make mayonnaise cake with caramel icing. I would eat that until I was almost sick. It was so good. Tradition. What your kids remembering about your house? Think with me, please. Tradition celebrates family. What confidence a kid feels knowing home is safe and a wonderful place to live. Every home ought to be like that. On Friday nights, while we ate our fish sticks and chips, we played a game called Carom. Anybody know what Carom is? I love the game of Carom. My dad had sticks for Carom, or you use your finger. Like, how many of you have played Carom before? Let me see your hand. A few of you have. Isn't that a fun game? It's wonderful. We played that until way into the night. We didn't watch much TV, but we played Carom. What a tradition. I talked about Carom so much one time here at school and church till my staff bought me a Carom game. I have it at my house. And sometimes we pull that out and play Carom, just remembering what Dad's home was like. Whatever your traditions, wherever you carry them out, you're doing something much more important than planning an event, parents. You're letting your family members know they are important enough to establish some special times. Let your family know, we planned this just for you. It's all right to do that. I'm trying to help you have a better home and a home that has the fragrance of Almighty God. Next thing, please. Number three. Letter C in my notes. Invite beauty into your home. Most women love to bring beauty into their surroundings. I've heard it said that we are most like the Creator when we are creating. What better place to express our creativity and our unique personalities than in our homes? A little color here. A touch of coziness over here. Inviting smells over here. Harmonize the home. What could be more wonderful than to walk into the front door of your house and feel welcomed? Is your home like that, parents, to your children? And don't make it that they have to prove themselves to you in order for you to make them feel that way. So many times our homes are so touchy because maybe the kids are living a little wayward or they're living a little away from the things of the Lord. And we've almost made the statement, if you're going to live like that, don't come around me. And that's not good. Oh, how we need to love our children. To live in beauty is a wonderful thing. Now, God wouldn't be honored. I know what some of you ladies are thinking. Pastor said my house needs to be beautiful. So today, I'm getting my list ready, sweetheart. We're going to go to the store. Going to buy new drapes, new curtains. Going to get a new carpet. I didn't say any of that. I don't think the Lord would be pleased by you going in debt to make your house beautiful. Come on, amen? What I'm trying to get you to do is see the beauty of your spirit and the heart in your home. My wife is such a doll. She really is. We got our house over there on Hamer Street some 30 years ago, and it was a nice house, but it had to have a lot of stuff done to it. So gradually we have done stuff to make it more beautiful for us and to fit our family. But if you come to our house, and many of you have, My dad could not get over what my wife did. She's got pictures on the wall, everywhere. On this wall's loaded, on this wall's loaded. Go in the other room, that wall's loaded. There's pictures everywhere. And my dad said to me quietly one day, my wife doesn't even know this today. He said, son, what are you going to do with all those nail holes? I said, I know, Pop. I don't know. He said, why'd you let her do that? Because she wanted to. I said, she's the one making the home beautiful. He said, that's not beautiful. He said, when you take those pictures off, you're going to have holes everywhere. How are you going to paint this place? I said, maybe we won't paint it. He said, you have a ton of work to do when you get those nails and pull them out and try to patch them. It's going to be a mess. I said, but didn't it look neat, Dad? Didn't it look neat? He said, yeah, sort of. My wife's got holes in every wall and pictures hanging everywhere. But it's so neat because you can go in my house and see my long chop steak sideburns that I had when I was 22. See my little mustache I used to wear. You can see Ken when he was a little boy with a big old bow tie, bigger than he was. You can see Lynette. You got to tell her about this. You can see Lynette. There's a picture on the wall with one tooth sticking out of her head. Everything else is gone but one tooth. We walk around the house. Andrew's there, his little baby pictures. You got to come see those pictures. Oh, it's awesome. You say, preacher, does that make it beautiful? Yes, it does. Every home just a little different. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, make beauty in your home. Give it some beauty. It's been a delightful adventure in my home to have all those pictures everywhere. And sometimes we look at them and we get tired of it too. We say, well, we ought to take them all down. I said the other day, I think I'm going to paint the living room and the dining room, sweetheart. We're going to probably take all these pictures down to do that. You're not taking my pictures down. I said, okie dokie. I settled that. Number four, please invite peace into your home. Please invite peace into your home. Make it a safe haven that you long to escape to. A place where you can let down your guard. You don't have to always wear a shirt and tie in your home. You can take it off. Some people come to my home and they say, wow, I've never seen you like this. You don't have a shirt and tie on. I say, I'm at home. It's okay, right? They say, yeah, all right. It's okay, yeah. Invite peace. Now, it doesn't mean when you invite peace in that it's always quiet. I do have two little grandsons. And we do have a peaceful home. But sometimes it's not quiet. They come to my house, it is definitely not quiet. But it's peaceful. Amen. And you know what? Those two little guys really make me feel good. They never want to leave. I love it. I love it when David says, sons, you got to go with Dad. Papa, Papa. I said, come on, guys. Come on. David looks at me and says, Dad. I said, come on, guys. Let's go. Wonderful. Being a grandpa is just exciting. Invite peace. Peace must be beauty's companion. You can't invite one without the other. Beauty without peace makes for an intimidating home. Kids will be kids, complete with red juice stains, fingers prints galore, huh? Underwear that never makes it to the bin. Amen. Sometimes even we older people spill things. But you can still have peace. Because the great God of the universe gives you peace. Number five, and I'm done. How many of you like ginger snap cookies? I love ginger snap cookies. Right, Frank? I went to preaching now, haven't I? Huh? Ginger snap cookies. My mom makes the best homemade ginger snap cookies. And she used to make them just because I liked them. That was special. You come in the house, ooh, mama, you've made ginger snap cookies again. And hers were always so soft and, ooh, they were so good. The aroma warms your heart. You know, as I get to thinking about home, hospitality, it means making the home a place where needs are met and hearts are lovingly touched. To do this, you don't have to have a perfect-looking house. In fact, it could be just a little messy from time to time where you have hospitality. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 13. My dad got in the thing of tradition and hospitality, and I never quite understood how important it was for Dad to do what Dad did. At Christmas time, he always made all kinds of candy. He would start it way back, like in October, early November, for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I didn't even realize what was going on until later in my life. He'd make all that stuff. He'd take it upstairs and cover it neatly. He'd take it upstairs where it was a little cooler. And I'd come for Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner, and he'd say, "Son, could you help me?" And what he really wanted me to help for, because he wanted me to see what he'd done. I didn't pick that up till later. I'd walk up there, and there was all the candy. I didn't make a big deal about it at first. Wow, this is good. But not a big deal. But just before he died, I made a big deal about it. I said, "Dad, I'll never forget the days and the hours you spent making this home such a wonderful home, making all that candy and all that fudge for Christmas and Thanksgiving, for Mama making all her homemade desserts and homemade foods. What a hospitable home this has been." Look what it says there. "Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." Isn't it interesting that hospitality is so close to the word hospital, which is where hurting people find relief and help? I think to practice hospitality the way God commands us to means we prepare our homes to be places where our families and friends find health and relief and healing. Your home ought to be a healing place, not a place of tension. I wonder whom God's speaking to today. God commands us to have homes and places in our families where we can feel relief and healing. Relief from the crazy world that we live in. Healing for all those who've been thrown all kind of adversity all day long. Home. How could your home be like a spiritual hospital? How could your home be like a spiritual hospital to your children and to your friends? You know, there's five things. Can you remember them? That we need in our homes to have a really good home. What's the first one, please? I've got to have my home filled full of love. Number two, give it to me, please. Traditions. How many of you have already some traditions in your home? Let me see your hand. You've got some traditions that you do. Isn't it fun? Isn't it good to do? Not only love and not only tradition, but number three, what's the third thing, please? Beauty. And it doesn't mean nice new carpet all the time. It doesn't mean new drapes. It doesn't mean fine china. It doesn't mean the best of wood furniture. It's the beauty of your heart, the love of God that comes in. And number four, peace. peace. Home ought to be a place of peace. And number five, it ought to be a place of hospitality. Now I'm finished. Ladies are coming. Go with me to John chapter 14, please. In other words, we can't leave this particular sermon today without remembering a very precious passage in the Word of God. Now, Mama, listen to me. Make your home and invite these five things in. It's right to do. When you look at this verse in John 14, verse 2, what's he say? Now, look, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, here's what I want you to see. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, here's the hospitality, the love of our great God. I go to prepare a place for you. If our great God is preparing a place for us, mothers, don't you think you ought to be preparing a place for your family to come in and enjoy the blessings of God? Why don't you, for just one moment, be like your Heavenly Father? Be like your Savior, the Lord Jesus, who said, I go to prepare a place for you. You say, well, preacher, I've tried all this stuff. It doesn't work. My home's chaotic. It's a mess. It doesn't have to be. You could change it this morning by you coming and saying, Lord, would you come into my heart, my life? Let the great love of God infiltrate me. And as the love of God infiltrates me, let that love flow from me to my husband, to my children. God, let this great love. Listen, our society is devoid of love. Our society is devoid of good families and good homes. We're fighting, we're fussing, our kids are a mess. Isn't it time, Mom, for some of you to step out of your seat this morning? And I'm talking to mothers this morning. Preacher, I'm going to come to God and ask God to help me to have a better home. But I'm going to ask Him to help me so that I can see a better home develop. Would you consider what I'm asking you this morning? These five things are very, very important. And if God is right now going to prepare a place for us, and that's a wonderful thing, and we're all excited about that, I can somehow believe that your family would be excited if you would begin to prepare your home to be a better home today. The fighting doesn't need to be there. The cussing, the swearing, the alcohol, the cigarette smoke, the cursing, the swearing, the dope, the Playboy magazine, none of that stuff needs to be there. We can have God ruling and reigning sufficiently in our homes, in our lives. Let's stand together, shall we, everybody? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.